Welcome to Landlord Diaries, where we talk about midterm rentals and the opportunities behind them. We'll share landlord stories, talk about maximizing investment potential, and discuss how to live the very best landlord life. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Furnished Finder, the place for everything midterm rentals. Remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy our content.
Hey, hey, everyone. It's your host of the Landlord Diaries, Kelly Bailey, coming to you in the Austin, Texas area, and my awesome co-host, Katie Lyon, in the Denver, Colorado area. We both have midterm rentals. We love the midterm rental strategy, and we try to bring you stories from all around the nation of what's working out there for midterm rentals. Katie, what's going on with our guest today?
Today, we're back with Sarah Weaver, Yay. Who is one of my favorite people. She's so friendly and approachable and kind, but also like amazing at what she does. And she has so much knowledge and information and experience. So she's just kind of a light in the industry. And we love anytime we get to talk to her. We love anytime we get to see her in person. She's just amazing. So today we get to talk about probably the number one question that you and I get kind of as like midterm mentors, if you will, which is how do I know if my market is good for midterm rentals? So we go through some hard metrics. So this is a good one to, if you're at home, take out your notebook or open the notes app on your phone. If you're on the road, just, you know, you're probably going to want to re-listen to it later with some notes, but we've got some links down in the show notes, no matter where you're listening. And just this is a really kind of informational heavy one. That's a great quick hitter. So enjoy.
Let's welcome back Sarah Weaver, co-author of the Bigger Pockets book, 30 Day Stay. The midterm or medium-term real estate strategy is Sarah's specialty as an investor, realtor, speaker, author, design consultant, real estate consultant, and once-in-a-lifetime tour guide. Today, Sarah will talk us through one of the most common midterm rental questions. Pause. Let me see if you can think what that might be. Is my market a good fit for midterm rentals? It is our hope that you leave this conversation more confident that you have the ability to analyze any market, no matter your strategy, funds available, or the plan. Sarah, we always enjoy having you and getting any opportunity to talk with you. How are you today and what part of the world are you in?
Oh, thanks so much, Kelly. What a great introduction. I am in Switzerland today.
How fun. I love Switzerland.
You're going to bring me some chocolates, Sarah. I really like Swiss chocolate.
You got it, Katie.
Thanks. Thanks, girl.
So, Sarah, thank you so much for being back with us again today. If you did not catch Sarah's first episode with us, episode 16, definitely go back, check it out. It gives a more broad overview of who Sarah is, what her investment portfolio is like, all those fun details. So, Sarah, we talked to you in early 2020 or late 2022, early 2023. How is it going? What kind of personal updates you have? And I think you've been leading a lot of really fun trips. So tell us whatever you'd like to give us an update about.
Yeah, absolutely. You're exactly right. I've been really busy with my company, Invested Adventures, where we take real estate investors on epic adventures around the world. So I'm a little under the weather today because I think my body is saying, oh my gosh, Sarah, what have you done to me?
That's what my body's always the first one to be like, nope, halt, you need a pause. And I'm like, I don't want to pause.
No.
I was like, no, you have to. So, okay. So Sarah, tell us your most favorite adventure or moment in the past, I don't know, 8 or 9 months.
Oh man. Well, this summer was, I mean, epic is the only word I can seem to use because I took 11 investors on an African safari in Tanzania where we looked at obviously animals. We saw the big five, which was amazing and honestly pretty unexpected. I thought we'd maybe see 3 or 4 of them, but we saw all 5. And then we spend the time together over meals and just even in the safari vehicle, talking about real estate investing. And so what better way to get a bucket list trip as a tax write-off or a business expense and get to do it alongside really cool real estate investors?
Awesome, for sure.
And that's awesome. I love it.
While you're feeling under the weather today, I don't think it's the worst you've felt all year. I think everyone would love to hear about your Kilimanjaro adventure.
Yeah, so a little less casual than sitting around looking at elephants. I took 11 investors after the safari on an 8-day hike on the tallest mountain in Africa. And actually, it's the tallest freestanding mountain in the world. And we hiked Kilimanjaro. And you're exactly right, Kelly. It knocked me off my feet, literally and figuratively. And I think the last we talked, I was just casually talking about how I was coughing blood.
Yes. And you kept going. You made it to the top through all that. Tell them what it's like breathing up there, because that was the crazy part to me as well.
Yeah. So you have about 40% of the oxygen that you have at sea level. And so your body's actually dying as you are ascending, like at that type of altitude. And so like there's not a great simulation, but one simulation that you can do to like see what it would be like to breathe is to just put your hand or your palm over your mouth and try to breathe. And that's essentially what it's like to try to breathe up
nope.
there.
Nope, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think Katie and I will choose one of those more subtle trips. But for the investors that chose to go on this trip, they're probably the most successful investors of all because they put it all on the line and don't give up, right? So any big life takeaways from that Kilimanjaro experience?
Yeah, I think that I'm so glad that you mentioned that because I think that the investors that summited, we all have grit. And I really believe that grit is one of the number one characteristics as an indicator for success, because you don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the best at math or the best at, you know, negotiating, but you have to have grit in whatever you do. And yeah. One of the best takeaways that I had from Kilimanjaro is that how you talk to yourself really, really matters. I think there's a really famous scientific experiment where they talk to plants and they talk to one plant and they say all these really nice things. And then they have this other plant and they just say nasty, mean things. And not only does the plant that you're speaking positively to, not only does it grow and thrive, but the plant that you're saying nasty things to, it actually dies. It doesn't just not grow, it dies. And I think that same thing is true with humans. I mean, when you have negative talk, you aren't going to make it to whatever the summit is, you know, theoretically. And I think that I had no doubt that I was going to summit regardless of what happened. And yes, I was coughing blood. I was vomiting. I had fever. And I just put one foot in front of the other. And there was only very, very small moments where I thought I wouldn't make it. Otherwise, I just kept telling myself, I've done harder things. Like, I can do this because I've done harder things.
That's what I always tell myself because I'm like, I have had two babies. Dang it. I've done harder. That's my Kilimanjaro. But I think what's important there too for listeners to remember is you didn't go at it alone. Right? Like you were with a group, with a community, and it's a much more conducive space for, I would say, the vast majority of people to have positive self-talk and encouragement when you're not alone. So real estate can be by nature kind of a lonesome adventure, but go and find some community so that, you know, you can have that positive vibe and just kind of, you know, everything's better when you're in a group. So
I couldn't agree more. And what I love about the event is even though I'm an extreme extrovert, which both of you know, we've hung out in person, a lot of the investors that sign up for my trips are introverts.
Wow.
Because they're craving exactly what you just described, Katie. They're craving connection, craving community. And that's exactly what you get when you sign up for one of these trips.
And one of our another one of our landlord diaries guests has been on your Kilimanjaro adventure as well, Devana. If you want to hear from Devana, episode 29, sober living, she rents out beds and built an ADU in her backyard. So that's so cool that she was on the trip with you guys, and just I think she just loves the Bigger Pockets network altogether, right?
Yeah, her and her husband are a powerhouse, not only in investing, but they're also incredible hikers. So it was really fun. And they're both coming on my next adventure, which is less hiking. I also do, for the non-hikers out there, I do retreats where you can have cocktails on a rooftop. If that's more your speed, they're coming to my fall retreat in Antigua, Guatemala.
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Furnished Finder, the ultimate platform for hassle-free midterm rentals. Whether you're a seasoned landlord or just getting started, Furnished Finder is the place for you. With Furnished Finder, you can say goodbye to booking fees and hello to direct bookings for 30-day plus days. It's a win-win for everyone involved. So if you're ready to experience the joys of midterm renting and take a load off your landlord's shoulders, head over to furnishedfinder.com today. We make it easy to get started. We're grateful to Furnished Finder for sponsoring this episode, and we're sure you'll love what they have in store for you.
Well, I think Furnished Finder should probably sponsor one of those, and just I'll be obligated to come just, you know, to represent the brand.
Absolutely.
So see what we can do about that. But all right, enough of the fun talk, even though I could sit here and talk about traveling and adventures all day. Let's talk about the question that I think all three of us as kind of professionals in the space get all the time. I know anytime Kelly and I are at a conference, we get this question just nonstop, and it's, how do I know if my market will work? So my answer is always yes. Yes, it will. People don't like that answer because it gives them nothing to fall back on, which is fair and valid. And I understand that because I remember what it was like before we had any rentals at all. So Sarah, you've broken it down, which is so great because all of us real estate investors, we just love checklists and bullet lists and everything. So let's talk about the six metrics you use, and the first one being population growth. So talk to us about what kind of population growth you recommend looking for in a market to be suitable for a midterm rental.
Absolutely. So one thing I want to state up front is that when I'm investing, I want to make sure that my properties are going to work as a long-term rental in case I don't turn them into a medium-term rental. So these six metrics that I'm going to share fit for long-term rentals as well as medium-term rentals. So when we're talking about population, we're not talking about that transient population that will likely be your medium-term tenant, but rather the population of the market. Why? Because I want to invest in a market where people are moving to. It's simple economics 101, supply and demand. If we have people moving out of the city or out of this town and population is decreasing over time, we're going to have an oversupply of housing and you're going to have less demand for your rental property. So I want the opposite. I want population going up so that there's always going to be demand for my property. So then the magic question is always, okay, Sarah, what kind of demand am I looking for? And people are not going to like this answer. It depends. It really, really depends. What I want to see is I want to see an upward trend over the last 10 years. So something like a huge spike during COVID, yeah, that makes me feel good, but not if it was decreasing for like the 7 years prior to that. And so I want to see year over year that population is increasing. And why are people moving there? That leads me to the second metric, which is job growth. So I want to see that population is growing.
Before we move on to job growth, population growth, what I really want to potentially get into if we can as well is the big picture concepts are amazing, but let's give them the tools that they need to go do these things and find these six metrics for the market that they want to look at. So where does someone go to find population growth in their area?
Yeah, there's a lot of really reputable sites. Frankly, I'm using ChatGPT these days to make things so much easier for myself. But for everyone out there that doesn't feel satisfied with that answer, let me tell you what I'm using. I'm using city-data.com. That's probably my favorite. I'm using the U.S. Census Bureau Quick Facts, datausa.io, and neighborhoodscout.com.
Okay. And I'm going to put all those in the show notes. So if you're on YouTube, and these are so important that I'll put them on the audio show notes as well. So y'all can just listen to the full episode and then go and click on those links in the show notes.
And when in doubt, check a couple of different places, right? Like if you're like, ooh, that seems like something I wouldn't expect, check a couple of places. These are quick. This isn't going to take you days and days and days. This is a quick little search you can do.
Well, and what I also tell people is like, be really careful about the list that are like top 10 places or top five, you know, growing cities. And like, I was a journalist. Journalists love to manipulate numbers for a great story or a great headline. That's where ad revenue comes from. And so investors, like, put on your thinking cap and really do some research as a researcher, because keep in mind, you're probably about to invest hundreds of thousands of dollars into this investment. Don't just go off of a top 10, you know, US news list that came out last week.
Yeah.
The other thing is, there can never be a top 10 list that fits Sarah Weaver's strategy or Kelly Bailey's strategy and needs and wants and desires. Those lists are so general, and they're looking at these overarching numbers that don't, they're not specific to you or what you're looking for, what your strategy and your plans and your financial goals are. So I agree with you. I hate them. I hate them, because it's literally, it's just, it's such a generalization. And it also, those markets, how many people are reading those articles? And then everybody's looking in those markets, right? So it's just, I think that's a good word of caution. So, okay, go back to where you were talking about job growth.
Yeah. And I think that it's a great transition, because I want everyone, I want to influence investors how to think. So, okay, why are people moving there? Oh, well, they probably have jobs. So there we go. There's metric number two. What jobs are being put there? So I want to see a 2-3% increase of job growth year over year across the last 10 years. And then I also want to look at what companies are moving there. So when I'm seeing, you know, Intel bring 20,000 jobs to Columbus, Ohio, that gets me excited, because that's the type of growth I want to see in a market like Columbus. When I'm seeing a Google facility built in Boulder, well, then guess what? I'm looking in that area. And so again, you're looking, and there's no like top 10 lists that you can look up. You're really going to have to dig deep into a market. And so that's why I recommend to every investor, no matter where you're at, don't try to analyze 12 markets all at once. Pick two markets, and make sure that they hit all six of these metrics. And if it doesn't, then move on to the next one. But there's no perfect market. It was Phoenix, Arizona, 2016. We all missed it. And for those of you that's sarcasm. And I think that what we really want to do is we want to teach investors to look at all six of these metrics, but also don't overwhelm yourself with data. I can't tell you how many investors come to me and 11 months later, I check in with them and they still haven't invested because they're still overwhelmed about how to pick a market. At some point, just pick one.
Mm-hmm. Hey, quick question about the job growth one. So example, Austin's got a lot of stuff coming around it. So one of those is a new Samsung plant in Taylor. So when you're looking at these details and looking at job growth and you see that increase to, let's say it's right on the line of 2-3% growth, but you know a plant's coming, when's the best time to buy in if it's maybe like a 5-year goal when they'll actually have it finished, or a 1-year goal or whatever? Any feedback there?
Kelly, the best time is yesterday.
I think you bring up a really good point. And it's if you're only building because there's that one plant, not in Taylor, Texas, so that's not a great example. But let's say that you found out that a plant was being built in a tiny little town 5 years from now. I want to invest somewhere where I'm not just putting all my eggs in one basket. It's exactly why I started off the conversation with, I'm analyzing these as long-term rentals first. And so I want to know that I'm going to have a consistent, steady tenant pool. And so I'm not investing like off of a single hunch. So that's a great question.
Excellent.
Let's talk about wage and income growth.
Yep. So we want to know that the people that are moving there, population growth for the jobs, job growth, are getting paid more time over time because you want to increase rent over time. I don't have a percentage or a metric for this. I just leave that in there as a metric that I look at to get you thinking, okay, I want to invest in a place where people are getting paid more so that I can charge more for rent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. And then, so this is so nice. It's like those sites that you gave us, are you able to find these six metrics on those four or so sites, or are some of these being pulled from other sites?
Most of them, I'll send you guys up like a comprehensive list. I have about 7 links okay. that I can share with you.
Okay, great. Thank you. So then number 4, rental rates. How do rental rates apply?
Hey, landlords, are you ready to level up your rental game and simplify your life? Well, get ready to meet your new best friend, KeyCheck. KeyCheck is your all-in-one solution for stress-free property management with tenant-paid screenings, rent payment processing, online lease creation with eSign, and a suite of incredible landlord tools. You'll wonder how you ever lived without it. No more chasing down checks or sifting through piles of applications. KeyCheck helps you organize and manage all things landlording in a simple and efficient way. So if you're tired of the rental chaos and crave seamless, efficient management, head over to keycheck.com and sign up today. Make landlord life a breeze with KeyCheck, the game changer for modern property owners.
Yep. So what I love seeing is that my neighboring investor, I call them my investing neighbors, not competition. I like networking with other investors in my network. And I like seeing that they're increasing rent over time. So as I just mentioned, you want your tenant pool making more money so that you can increase rent. Well, you want other people in your market increasing rent so that you're not the only one increasing rent year over year.
For sure. The one thing I've really loved through our show is hearing how many people that are more of the building a corporate housing type business individuals, how they take their market, really saturate in their market, and maybe have a larger number of rentals in one place. And then they have these relationships with medical recruiters or insurance companies as their go-to, because they say, hey, I've got, you know, this much inventory. And if for some reason I don't have inventory, I'll connect you with, you know, those in my network that have inventory. So just like you're saying, the landlords on Furnished Finder or on Airbnb, they're our neighbors and we can send leads to them just like we hope that they'll send leads to us. That's so cool.
All right, let's talk about home values and appreciation. What are you looking for there?
Yeah, I want to see that the homes that I'm investing in are going to appreciate over time. I tend to be what I call a cash flow investor. I invest in the Midwest. So appreciation is not as sexy as the aforementioned Austin, Texas, for example. But I'm still investing. So I'm not going to invest in something that's depreciating. And so I want to see that these home values are increasing over time. So I'm looking for a minimum of 4% year over year. But I'm really kind of gauging for about 6%.
And cash flow plus appreciation is the best, right?
Yeah, the appreciation is that cherry on top.
Yeah, awesome. And final one, but not the least of the bunch, crime rate. What are you looking for when it comes to crime rate, especially in those neighborhoods? You're like, oh, this is currently in a C-class neighborhood, but it's likely going to be in a B-class neighborhood soon based off, you know, its location.
Yep. So crime rate, this is the only one of the metrics you want to see going down. So you want less crime. Not only does that keep your insurance rates low, but it also keeps your retention high. So I'm really lucky. Most of the tenants that I find through Furnished Finder are actually renewing their lease. I have a 47% renewal rate, meaning they're leasing for 3 months. They're extending to 6 months because they feel safe. Awesome. Also, my units are really cute, but they feel safe. And so this is always what I talk about is when people ask about what types of neighborhood is, you have to be thinking that a nurse, let's say that a nurse is your tenant, they're getting off of a 12-hour shift in the middle of the night or after dark. Can they go from their car into your unit and it's well lit and safe? If the answer is no, then I'm not investing in that type of unit.
That makes sense.
This is, I think, another great, great time to, if you are considering your local market, also go physically explore, right? Let's say it's a new area of your market. Like I'm in Denver, right? There's, generally speaking, I can tell you the safer and not as safe areas of Denver. But if I'm really trying to dig my teeth into Denver, I would go walk more neighborhoods and really get to know it. Now, all of my midterm rentals are out of state and they're where my family lives, because as Sarah mentioned, it's in the Midwest where things are a little bit more in my price range. And I will actually I will send the address to my brother and I'll be like, okay, generally speaking, I know the areas, I've looked up the crime rate, it says this, but what do you think about this specific street? And he can be like, okay, this street, not so good. It's too close to X, Y, and Z. It's not well lit. It's too close to this other major street or whatever, things that aren't going to show up on a crime report necessarily. And then he can tell me, but if you go two streets this way, it's a whole different game where that stuff might not show up on a report. So this is kind of the one metric that I would tell people, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but like, go get in the car or go send someone you know to go get in the car and get a little bit more like soft information and dig in there as well.
And someone who is an investor, like I'm not sending my aunt who like didn't think that the location of my fourplex was very good. Well, guess what? That fourplex now cash flows $4,000 a month and I'm 97% occupied. And so I'm asking the opinion of other real estate investors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Sarah, you said something about safety and, you know, how 47% of your guests renew because they love your place. It's cute. It's safe. It's inviting. So if you don't feel like your place is safe at night and you need a little help with that, go back and listen to episode 52 with Jillian McMorris. And she talks about landscape lighting at night and gives you a lot of great tips there. So we've covered all six. That's amazing. And now you are ready. You can end this episode and get started. Grab a coffee, grab a drink, and just go to those websites and start looking up your next two markets and see, you know, what the best fit is for your next investment. So, any last things you want to add for the metrics? We'll have a few more fun questions to follow, but any last things for the metrics you want to add, Sarah?
Yeah, I think that there's kind of a hidden seventh metric, which is deal flow. And so you can love a market as much as you want, but if you don't have deals or someone sending you deals, then you're probably not going to invest there. So one of the many reasons that I invested in the markets that I'm in is that they hit all six metrics that we talked about. And then I had an investor-friendly agent sending me great deals, and I was able to go under contract and close on them. And so definitely a word of encouragement is please get out there, write offers, network with investor-friendly agents, and don't get stuck in the weeds when it comes to researching these markets.
For sure. Awesome. Well, one thing Furnish Finder related that, and I think you mainly advertise on Furnish Finder and Airbnb, and you don't really feel like you have to go elsewhere. Do you advertise anywhere else or just those two right now?
Yeah, just there at this time.
I love it. So in relation to Furnish Finder and analyzing your markets, you're actually the one who taught me the shortcut to furnishfinder.com/stats. I used to say, go to property owner resources, find this section. I'm like, Sarah, you made it so much more simple for me to explain. Thank you for that. So when you look at Furnish Finder stats, a lot of people just don't really understand what they're looking at or how the numbers make sense to whether they should, you know, whether it's a good fit for midterm rental or not. Do you have any advice on that for the stats page?
Yeah, I think what's really important, especially as investors start to worry more and more about oversaturation, is that you're focusing on being 10% better than your competition. And so while I love the numbers on furnishfinder.com/stats, and that's what's giving me a lot of confidence to invest in that area, I'm not losing faith that I'm a great investor and that I'm going to be able to beat out my competition. And so what I want to see when I'm looking is that there is demand and there is some supply, but maybe not as much demand. But I'm not really as concerned. So many investors ask me like for some magic calculation or some magic ratio. And the reality is that I know that I'm going to beat out my competition. And that's with like great interior design, professional photography, and then a great experience for my guests. That's how I continue to have them renew. And so I think if you're an investor that's more concerned with being a great rental, you don't have to stress as much about what these stats actually mean to you.
And guys, you've probably heard me say this on the show before, but Sarah's got an awesome furnishing list. So if you're like, hey, I don't want to start from scratch, I just want to, you know, go to a list and order the products, Sarah has years of experience building her list, finding the most efficient product that will last, is durable, and is attractive in the market as well. So why don't you give a little plug-in about your design company, Aria Design, what all you offer in that list?
Absolutely. You're exactly right. We spent years now kind of curating this list, and we're constantly updating it. So for the low price of $99, you can purchase this list. And then it doesn't just tell you to buy spoons and sheets for your unit. It actually has the link to the spoons and the sheets and the nightstand and the side table, et cetera, for every single room in your unit so that you can just click, click, click and add to cart. So for $99, that's there. And if you're thinking, okay, now I would love even more support because I'm listening and I'm in California and I'm buying in Ohio or in Austin, well, we can actually fly out and design the whole unit for you. And so if you need anything or if you want to purchase that list, you can go to sarahdweaver.com/Aria, A-R-Y-A, which is the name of my design company.
I love it. I love how we just kind of ran through those very efficiently and gave everybody kind of the nuggets that they need to be successful. And I think the most important thing to remember for everyone is to, like you said, like take some action, right? Don't sit on the sidelines forever. If you end up investing in a property that you don't like as much, move on. It's okay.
Well, I just have two more questions. And Katie, if you have a question, then I'll let you wrap us up today. So my first one is, Sarah, have you seen the market change over the last year? And, you know, what advice are or predictions are you making for the midterm rental market?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, the market has changed. Getting financing is a lot different than it was a year ago. When it comes to interest rates. So my like margin of deals is a lot smaller as I'm analyzing more properties. And so that's exactly what I'm doing is I'm just having to analyze a lot more deals this year than I was last year in order to find a good deal. Good deals are still out there. Don't get discouraged and know that I'm just having to work a lot harder. I'm having to dig deeper, maybe even use creative financing to make the numbers work. And then as far as my projection, I think we're going to see a lot more cities crack down on these short-term rental regulations, which means some of these unlicensed short-term rental operators are going to become medium-term rental operators.
Right.
And so it's even more important that us MTR operators are on top of it. So it's looking at offering more amenities, having, you know, refreshed units when tenants move out, and just making sure that you're running your listing as professionally as possible. And so I'm inside Furnish Finder every week, updating my listing, adding, you know, great language so that I'm attracting tenants. I hear all the time people are saying, oh, I'm not getting any leads. I'm not getting any leads. And it's because they simply list their unit and sit back. Whereas I'm constantly in Furnish Finder talking to leads, you know, curating leads, messaging them, and then also updating my listing and then also updating my unit as I get feedback from these tenants. If they want sound machines, well, guess what? Now my units all have sound machines. If they're missing some type of kitchen appliance, I'm Amazon priming it to the unit because I want great reviews and I want my tenants to be happy so that I stay full.
Yeah, I love that. And I'd like to change my main photo pretty often. Like it's, you're not set on one main photo.
That's a good idea.
Just kind of rotate it up. And quick little tip for everybody. If you're perusing your competition on Furnish Finder or Airbnb, look for the ones that are booked out, not for the ones that are available now. Now, if they have 5-star reviews, then you know they're reliable. But the ones that are available now, well, they might be brand new to the market. So that might not be a good feel for your competition as much as one that's booked out further down the road. And you know they've got someone in their listing. Okay, my final question is a two-part. Why? I don't think we asked you this last time. Why did you and Ziana choose medium-term rental as part of like midterm, medium-term? Why the word medium? And then the second part is, do y'all have any other books or do you personally have any other books in the works?
Ooh, great question. So the midterm, medium-term smackdown. This, by the way, you guys, this will never be the like cross that I die on. I use them interchangeably. At the end of the day, it was a publishing decision. They felt that midterm, it has a negative connotation, like midterm elections or your college midterm exam. And so also when you look at short, medium, long, when you're doing short term, medium term, long term, that was a publishing decision.
I like it. Sounds good. And any future books?
Well, yes. Funny that you asked. I am working on my manuscript for my book, which will keep under wraps.
I like that.
Very cool. And Katie, you want to wrap us up?
I mean, that's all we got. I love just how we kind of quick hit through all of those because it doesn't have to be an overwhelming process, right? Like this doesn't have to be, we hear so much from people who have spent hours and hours and hours and hours. And it's like, put that effort into finding the deal after you hit the market. Because like you said, Sarah, finding the deal is becoming more of a challenge. So pick a market, get to know it, and then just jump in the pool, right? And go for it and spend your time finding the deal. So we love you. We always appreciate you having you on here. Hopefully we can see you again in person sometime. And then hopefully, you know, maybe, I don't know. I think like a wine tour sounds like a good invested adventure sponsored by Furnish Finder. And I'm just throwing it out there, manifesting things that should probably come to fruition. But I'm sure we'll see you again in person sometime. And if you guys don't follow Sarah, you're missing out. So go fix your life and go follow her.
Give them that shout out, Sarah. Where all would you like them to connect with you? And then it'll be on the show notes as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on Instagram, Sarah D. Weaver. And you can find everything that we talked about today at sarahdweaver.com.
Awesome.
Love it.
Love it. Well, thank you. Reminder, if you love our show, please don't forget to subscribe and like, and we would so appreciate your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you next week.